So here we are, Rabosa on Daf Chavav Amid Aleph, and we can count up approximately 12 lines up from the bottom of the Amid, and we're looking at a Gemara that starts with the word Lememra. Let's see if we can find it. The first word in the line is Hoil, and if you're counting either three lines below Tosus Ksiv, or shall we say four lines above Tosus HaKnisa, whatever it is, Lememra. Now, just to pick up the Gemara here where we left off yesterday, we came to the final conclusion that within the context of Me'ila, there are two dimensions to Me'ila. One is the violation of Me'ila, which incurs a Chiyuv Karmon, and that applies when something is designated for Hegdesh and its mitzvah has not yet been fulfilled. Then we have another dimension of Me'ila, which is called an Iser Hanah. And the Nafkamina is going to be in a case where you benefit from Hegdesh without stealing from Hegdesh. You don't take away. That's called Kol V'mara V'reach. So in those three cases of Kol Mara V'reach, you don't take away from the Hegdesh, you don't steal from Hegdesh, and all you're left with is what's called an Iser Hanah. And you're not allowed to benefit from Hegdesh for your own purposes. So for example, if a person situates himself in a way that he'll smell the Ketores, he moves forward towards the Ketores in order to smell it, then he violates an Iser Hanah. And that's in a case of Efshar. A case of low Efshar would be, let's say, a Kohen who has to go in to do the Avod and he smells the Ketores and he deliberately asks Kavanah to smell the Ketores. That would be a case of low Efshar v'kamachavin, and that's Machlokas Abai v'Rova. Now, what is Abai going to do with the case of Ketores? Meaning, we have a din in a braisa called Hameriach, a person who deliberately smells from the Ketores, he's Chayv Mishum Me'ila. And how do we explain that? So yesterday we had a discussion about the fact that Me'ila is that Reach is different than Kol and Mare. In Kol and Mare, he doesn't take away anything from the Hegdesh by looking and enjoying its beauty, by hearing and enjoying the pleasant sounds of the Levim, or the instruments that the Levim are playing. But in the case of Reach, and again we had a long discussion about this yesterday, there is a some sort of mamoshes, there's some sort of a tangible, physical pleasure that you get, and you take something into your body in order to smell it. So that means that there is Me'ila in Reach. However, the Gemara makes the fundamental distinction that Bamedvar Amur, when is the Me'ila in Reach? That's only when you're burning the Ketores, and the Ketores' mitzvah has not yet been fulfilled. But once the Ketores produces that smoke, that pillar of smoke that goes up, that's called Tale Timruso, that clinches the mitzvah of the Ketores. If you smell it afterwards, that's not a violation of Me'ila. So again, we had one statement that said that there is no Me'ila in Reach. We had another statement in a Braisa that says there is Me'ila in Reach in the Ketores. How do we reconcile the two? Well, this is what Rav Papa says. That if it's before the point of Nases Mitzvaso, meaning it's before Tala Timruso, then there is Me'ila through Reach of Ketores. But if it's after Tala Timruso, then it's Nases Mitzvaso, and there's no Me'ila. The sugya that we're about to embark upon today is an entire analysis of this concept called Nases Mitzvaso, which means, can I remove Me'ila? Or do I remove Me'ila after the mitzvah is fulfilled? And up until this point, we've assumed the answer is yes. There's no more Me'ila after Nasis Mitzvaso. The Gemara is now going to question that premise from a few different halachas. One is called Trumas HaDeshen. The other is called Bigdei Kahuna. The third is going to be called Egla Rufa. All these concepts we're going to study today in Mirtz Hashem. And our goal in studying these topics, the angle, so to speak, of our analysis of these topics is what happens with Me'ila in these cases. Does Me'ila apply only before Nasis Mitzvaso, but once it's Nasis Mitzvaso, there's no Me'ila, or is the Me'ila even after Nasis Mitzvaso? And the classic example of this is going to be Trumas HaDeshen. The Torah has a parasha in Vayikra Vav. We're going to read it not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos. And there it says, Ve'herimes HaDeshen, and the Kohen, again, there's going to be a lottery and decide which Kohen, that chosen Kohen is going to take off the Deshen. What is the Deshen? The Torah says that the Deshen is a Shartochal Ha'esh Es Ha'ola Al Mizbeach. You brought a Korban Ola, and that's just one example of many. A Korban Ola is a very profound example, because there the Esh burns up the entire Korban Ola. It's what's called Kulo Kolil. It's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And now what you're left with is Deshen. Deshen are the ashes as a result of the Sreifa. And the Torah commands the Kohen to take out the Deshen, and he has to place it what's called Eitzel HaMizbeach, and from there it went out. There's a whole discussion about that, which maybe we'll get into, maybe not. In any event, what we're going to focus on is the following. L'meimra shall you say, d'chol heicha d'nasis mitzvaso ein bo mishum me'ila, that as soon as you fulfill the mitzvah, the me'ila is gone? And that's what we said by after Talit and Rosh, in the case of the Ketores. There's no me'ila. Vare Trumas HaDeshen, I'm going to prove to you that there is Me'ila in Trumas HaDeshen, even though the Nasis Mitzvaso. After all, the Karba was brought on the Mizbeach, the Zevach was burnt at the Eish, and the Mitzvah is complete. If the Mitzvah is complete, then there should be no Me'ila. And yet, in Deshen, Yeshba Mishum Me'ila, there is Me'ila. Even after the Deshen was removed, there is still Me'ila. You're not allowed to enjoy that Deshen for your purposes. Dichsiv. And the Pasuk itself is going to give us a certain word. We're going to have to emphasize one key word in that Pasuk, which is going to teach us that there is Me'ila in Deshen, in Trumas HaDeshen, even though it's after Nasis Mitzvaso. Now again, you might ask, well, maybe this is the exception to the rule. The Torah went out of its way, as we'll soon see, to teach us with one word that there is Me'ila in Trumas HaDeshen. Well, maybe that's only in Trumas HaDeshen. But the answer is we have a principle called Binyan Av, and that whenever we see the Torah going out of its way to teach us a din, we assume that the Torah may have taught us that din in one particular context, but it's meant to teach us in all cases. It's just one case in point, but it's a klal. Unless you have what's called shnei suvim aboim kechad. If the Torah tells you something twice, then it's telling you that these two cases are the exceptions to the rule. But if the Torah tells you something only once, and right now we only have Trumas HaDeshen on the table, pardon the pun, then the Torah is telling you that there is Me'ila even after Nasis Mitzvah. So again, what you have to know as you learn this sugya is that Trumas HaDeshen becomes the paradigm of Nasis Mitzvaso. If you can just remember that, then the sugya becomes very easy. Shall I repeat that and you'll write that down? Trumas HaDeshen is the paradigm of Nasis Mitzvaso.
What's the difference between that and Ketorah?
Well, again, in Ketorah, we don't know that there's a principle of Nasis Mitzvaso. We came up with a logical analysis, because we remember
we reconciled the two.
Exactly. We had a stira, and we reconciled that stira by coming up with a theory that it all depends. When we say that Reach Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila, that's after Nasis Mitzvaso. And again, the logic of Nasis Mitzvaso is very compelling. The reason for Hegdesh and Me'ila is because the Hegdesh is designated for a mitzvah. Now you're using it for your benefit. You're touching on something that's a mitzvah. It's designated for Hashem. But after Nasis Mitzvah, so why should the Torah care what you do with it? So again, it's Ketores, and there's a smell, but it's already after you fulfill the mitzvah. So it's after Shetaleh Tmuraso. But logic is logic. The Torah is the Torah. You know, we don't reduce the Torah to logical principles. Now, we were learning in Masechta Megillah today. I always try to show you there's a connection between Megillah and Pesachim. That a person says that, why does the Torah command us to shoo away the mother bird before we take the fledglings? It's because of Rachmanus, that the Torah has compassion. So we have a number of questions on that, because the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKohen does not apply to other animals, not birds, to animals. There's no mitzvah that if the animal is sitting on its young, you have to shoo away the animal. It's only to birds. Not only that, it doesn't even apply to all the birds. It only applies to kosher birds. So when we reduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs to logic, and we rationalize the mitzvah, we're involved in a very dangerous, very precarious enterprise. Because we're never going to be able to give enough of a rationale that's going to justify all the different details.
But don't we do that with the Shlosh Esrei Midot? Isn't that
reducing
it to logic?
Shlosh Esrei Midot are not based on logic. Even Kal V'chomer is not based on logic. I can prove to you that Kal V'chomer are not logical. Okay. You know, it's unbelievable how many conclusions don't make any sense. But Kal V'chomer goes according to a certain law. You know, the Torah gave us not only the laws, but gave us the rules by which we could derive the laws. And those rules are very... again, the Torah has its own logic, so to speak, but it's not human logic. But based on the logic of the Torah, we felt, and that was the position of our Papa, that once it's Talet Muroso, there's no Me'ilin Ketoros because Nasis Mitzvoso. Well, if the Torah is going to go out of its way to tell us that there's Me'ilin Trumas Hadeshen, then with all due respect to your logical analysis and your conclusions, but you can't contradict the Pasuk. And whenever there's a Pasuk, that Pasuk becomes a Binyanah. So let's see the Pasuk itself and see if we can understand how Truma Sadeshen teaches us that Me'ilah applies not only before the mitzvah was achieved, but even after the mitzvah was implemented. What does the Torah say? Again, let's read the Pasuk one more time. It says, Ve'hirim es Hadeshen asher tochal ha'esh es ha'ol al ha'mizbeach. And then it says, and this you'll have in your Gemara, V'samo etzel ha'mizbeach. And we're going to darshan this word visamo. Okay, visamo. It could have said visam etzel mizbeach. Oh, okay, very good. And what does it mean, visamo etzel mizbeach? Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Shalo yefazer, that's number one. And number two is visamo shalo yehene. That's number two. So the two derivations here from the Pasuk Visamo. Now, every day the Kohen would take the Deshen and the shear, the amount of Deshen that he had to take in order to fulfill his mitzvah was called Melo Machta. Melo Machta means the pan, there's a shovel, and he has to fill up the shovel with Deshen. He takes it from what's called the Marocha. The Marocha is the place on the Mizbeach where they brought the Korbanos. So the Mizbeach had many different parts to it. But from the Marocha. And he would place it down in a spot which is considered Eitzel HaMizbeach. Now, again, I'm not sure if I'm prepared to discuss what Eitzel HaMizbeach means. I'll just read to you just a few words about it. It says that Hamakom Asher Hiktiru Es HaKorbanos, that's called the Marocha, and that's where he dips the pan into the ashes. Unisano Bitzad HaMizbeach. Okay, so right now we're going to use this very vague term. Again, if we were learning Masechta Zvachim, we'd have to get more into it and fine-tune it. We'll call it Sad HaMizbeach, the side of the Mizbeach. Now, what would happen on the side of the Mizbeach? So if you take a look at Rashi here, Dibra Masel Trumas, Rashi tells us that there was a Ness. Rashi tells us that he Nivlas Bimkoma. It's really wild that somehow it was swallowed up into the earth. Oh. Now Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Asura Bahano Umo'ilim Ba. Now, since the Torah says that you have to place it in that place which we call the Tzad HaMizbeach, in the Torah's language, Eitzel HaMizbeach, it means that it cannot be exposed. Again, the way it was disposed of was miraculous, but it cannot be exposed. That means, in the language of Shas, ta'un gniza. Are you familiar with that terminology? Okay. Ta'un means it requires, gniza means it has to be hidden away. Why does it have to be hidden away? And the answer is, shelo yehene, that he shouldn't have any benefit from it. So the drasha means that when it says v'samo, it means you need gniza, and the implication of requiring of gniza, of hiding it and putting it away, is that it's asur b'hano. Now it's interesting, this Gemara that we're learning now appears in another Masechta in Shas called Masechta Kresos, and there the first part of the drasha, which it says shelo yefazer, doesn't appear. The Gemara omits that. Meaning, the drasha of that you're not allowed to just take the mole machta and just, you know, spread it out, so to speak, throw it to the wind, that drasha doesn't even appear in the Masechta Kresos. So obviously, what we're doing is we're putting the emphasis here on shelo yehene. And how do we know shelo yehene? Rashi says from the fact that it needs gniza. Okay. So now it comes out the following. The mitzvah was achieved because he took the zevach and he was makter the zevach al gabi mizbech on the atzei hamarocha, and now he takes the ashes from the marocha and he puts it bitzad hamizbech, and it requires gniza. It has to be hidden. Again, Rashi says that process took place miraculously, but that's not our sugya today. Our sugya today is that the Torah requires gniza, and what's implicit in the requirement of gniza? To make sure that no one gets any hanor from it. No one gets any benefit from it. So we have now a case of nasis mitzvasa. Now Rav Papa said, in explaining Rav Yeshua ben Levi, that if it's nasis mitzvasa, for example, talit murasa, in the case of ktores, then there's no longer Meila. In Deshen, the Torah is saying just the opposite. Even though it was Nasis Mitzvah, so nevertheless there is Meila. Vissamo, which means it requires Gniza. Hence it's Aser Behana, and there's an Iser Meila here. Now if you take a look at Rashi again, Trumas HaDeshen, Rashi in the first of the white lines says Umol Imba. Now in the Gemara itself, it doesn't say Umol Imba. This was Rashi's addition. The Gemara only says also lehenos mimena, correct? Shelo yehene. Rashi adds me'ila.
But that answers the question.
Well, I'm not sure if it answers the question or it makes the question meaningful. In other words, even though it was nasis mitzvah, so nevertheless it's still me'ila, and that contradicts Rav Papa, who says that once it was nasis mitzvah, there is no me'ila. Hence, we understand the Gemara's kasha. But I just want to point out to you that in terms of the text of our sugya here, Masechta Psachim, Rashi's adding a word that doesn't appear. And the reason I mention this is because the Gemara in Yoma actually records a machlokas tanoim as to whether or not there is me'ila in Trumas HaDeshen. And it's only Rabbi Yehuda who holds that yesh me'ila b'trumas HaDeshen. Not only that, the Rishonim have a machlokas about this. And Tosus in Masechta Yuma quotes the Ritzbah. He's a very rarely quoted Balei HaTosfos, and he holds that that our final conclusion l'halacha is that in Trumas HaDeshen is only an Iser Hanah, and anywhere that you find Me'ila, it's Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean Me'ila, and this is very problematic because if there is no Me'ila according to the Ritzbah, we're going to have to come back to our sugya, and we're going to have to understand the equation here between Me'ila and Iser Hanah. What I mean to say is that the Gemara, according to the Ritzbah, is making a leap of faith. And it's saying that if there's a Svar, according to Rapop, of Nasis Mitzvasa, that Svar of Nasis Mitzvasa should operate not only within the context of Me'ila, but even within the context of the Isar Hanah. Now, just one second, Michael, I just wanted to think this out one more moment, and then the floor is yours. What I wanted to suggest is that there are two ways of understanding the Isar Hanah. One way is to say that the Isar Hanah is because of the very heft, in other words, the physical object. It doesn't matter whether or not the mitzvah was achieved in this object. The other way is to say it, no, that what generates the Isar Hanah, it's the It's the designation of the object for a mitzvah. If you go with the chefetz itself, you know, the chemical structure, the bonds, and the chemical bonds and the carbon and so forth of the object, the chemistry of the object, then nasis mitzvah is not going to make any bit of a difference. And therefore, I don't understand the Ritzvah, because the Ritzvah is saying that when the Gemara attacks Rav Yeshua ben Levi, it attacks him based on the fact that the same din of Nasis Mitzvah that applies to Mila should apply to an Isra Hanah in the case of Truma Sadeshim. But it could be that one could counter-argue and say no. I mean, Rashi wants to insist that the Gemara is operating with the premise that there's an Isra Me'ila in Truma Sadeshim, because Isra Hanah would not prove a thing. The Isra Hanah might have to do with the object per se, and it has nothing to do with the Shem Hegdesh or the mitzvah, so of the designation for a mitzvah. Yeah, Michael?
So I just want to understand what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah, presumably what you're saying is, the mitzvah is the Kohen lifts up the Deshen, he right. takes it off the ramp, and he puts it on the floor. And once he puts it on the floor, that whole exercise is the mitzvah. Is that what you're saying? And therefore, once he's put it on the floor, that's the end of the mitzvah?
No, I think it goes beyond that. He has to cover it as well. Now, that happened miraculously. It got sucked into the ground. Oh, so but if there was no miracle, he would have to cover it. It's not enough that he puts it down. He has to cover it.
Okay, so then... And then what
are
you going to do?
You
going to then dig it up and use it?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying...
But I thought it was taken out.
You're asking... Well, no. I don't know that you have to cover it. I'm not sure exactly how you have to cover it. It could be that you just put a cover over it. I don't know. It's gneiz. I don't know.
If
it's swallowed in the ground, then I don't... Yeah, then your question is a good question. That's why I say our sugya is not operating with the miracle of Blia, but anyway, there's something called Geniza, and apparently you could take something out of Geniza. I know people, by the way, who actually go into Geniza, and some of them get very wealthy, by the way. No, I'm not joking with you. This is a historical fact.
Well,
you know,
Cairo Geniza.
Correct.
Still working on the topic.
Correct.
Yeah. I have a question. I thought.
Wait. David wanted to ask a question. I'll be right with you. I'm sorry.
Following up on Michael's question, how would a person, in practicality, use these ashes to fertilize his field?
Yeah, I think so. I think it could be used as fertilizer. I think so. But maybe we'll get to that. I don't remember that anyone exactly goes into those details. But you're right. I think it's fertilized.
Unless they're mixing up the korbanot. I thought he takes the ashes down, puts it down, and then at night or just before the beginning of the next day, they take it out of the Beit HaMikdash. So if it gets sucked into the ground, what are they taking in?
That's the
remnants of the whole thing. There's a special mitzvah of Truma Sadeshim, and then there's once in a while they have to clean out the whole maracha. So it's a separate. That's what they take out of the basement.
I thought it was every day they had to take it out.
Yeah.
So I don't know, we have to check that out. If you can do that for me, Don, I plead the fifth on that one. Okay? All right. So now, Rabosa, we have the following. We have a statement of Rav Papa, in which he tries to reconcile Rav Yeshua ben Levi, that after Nasis Mitzvah, there's no Me'ilah. Against that, we have the parsha of Trumas Adeshen, which means that even though the mitzvah is done, nevertheless the Torah requires Geniza, and that means that it's also about Noah. We don't want anyone to benefit from it.
Well, when does it say Geniza? Yeah?
Yeah, that's the Rashi, the first of the wide lines.
Oh, I see. So yeah. The Torah doesn't say it.
No. This is how Rashi understands V'samoyt Samazbeach. So what does it mean V'samoyt Shalo Yehenna? Rashi asks himself the following question: what do you mean, v'samo shelo yehenna? Just because you have a mitzvah of placing the deshen eitz on his bath, therefore shelo yehenna? So there must be some piece of the puzzle that's missing, and Rashi adds the piece of tzarech geniza, that since you need geniza, therefore it must mean that it's osur b'hanah. Why would the Torah require geniza unless it was osur b'hanah?
To stop you having.
Correct, to stop you and prevent you from having hanah. In the language of the Mishnah at the end of Tumur, that's called mikbarim, right? That's things that you have to bury on the ground in order to avoid hanah. Now just one second here. I can't seem to find this note here. Where did, I wrote myself a note, but I don't, now I don't find it. Just one second. Oh, okay. So let's just go on. Oh, just one second. So now what do we have? We have Trumas Adeshen as what? As a Binyan Av. Now, supposing I could find another parasha which teaches me the same exact halacha, that even after Nasis Mitzvaso, it remains Aser B'Me'ila, Aser B'Anah.
Then you'd have just those two.
Correct, exactly. That's called Shnei Suba Bam Kechon Ein Malamdu. And that's exactly what the Gemara's answer is going to be. Put Trumas Adeshen on one side of the equation and add Bigdei Kahuna to the other side of the equation. Mishum Davi Trumas Adeshen U'Bigdei Kahuna Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad Ein Malam. So first we want to talk a little bit about Bigdei Kahuna and how the principle of Bigdei Kahuna is going to teach us that even after Nasis Mitzvaso there still remains an Iser Me'ila. And then we have to talk about this principle called Kol Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad Ein Malam. So let's go step by step. There are four Bigdei Lavan, in other words, out of the various begadim that a Kohen Gadol wears on Yom HaKippurim, four of them are made of wool. Not wool, but they're made of linen. One is called the Ktores, the other is called the Mechnasayim, the third is called the Mitznefes, and the fourth is called the Avnet. Now, when the Kohen Gadol goes Lifnai V'Lifnim, he takes off his Bigdei Zahav, which are laden with gold, and he enters into the Kodesh Kedoshim with four Begadim, which are called Bigdei Lavan. Lavan means they have no gold on them.
Are those the ones that the regular Kohanim?
Excellent. Phil, your mom is a step ahead of me.
Whoa.
Those are the four Begadim that a Kohen Hedjot could wear B'Shar Yemos Hashanah. So in other words, the overlap between the Bigdei Kahuna of a Kohen Gadol, excuse me, and the Bigdei Kahuna of a Kohen Hedjot are these four Begadim which are called, they're designated with the name Bigdei Lavan.
He's wearing those anyway. He's got four additional ones.
Right, so the question is, what happens after Yom Kippur? What do we do with these four begadim?
Recycle.
Yeah, okay, recycle. Yeah, no. Just give me a second for a second. Why not bequeath them to the Kohen Hedjot? That was my question. So let me read this to you. He says the following. Be'avoda v'shar yemos hashanah. On the whole year round, the Kohen Gadol doesn't need these four begadim. And these are designated for the avoda inside Lifnai V'Lifnim. So the rest of the year, he doesn't need these Bigdei Lavan. And he wears eight begadim, which are called Bigdei Zav. That's the whole year round. Now, the four begadim, which are called Bigdei Lavan, are begadim which the Kohen Hedjot wears the whole year round. So therefore, is it possible for the Bigdei, for the Kohen Hedjot to now wear the Bigdei Kohen Gadol, the Bigdei Lavan of the Kohen Gadol? So the Torah goes out of its way to teach us, which we're going to see, so the Gemara is going to ask, how do we know this, that even after the mitzvah of Lifnai V'Lifnim of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was fulfilled, the Kohen Hedjot is not allowed to benefit by wearing the Kohen Gadol's Bigdei Lavan. And that's going to be a contradiction to the principle of Naseis Mitzvasa. Okay? And hence, we have now, in the case of Trumas Hadeshen and Bigdei Kahuna, with regard to the Bigdei Lavan, we have Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad. There are two psukim that seem to be presenting the very same principle. They're teaching us that even after Nasis Mitzvaso, nevertheless the Iser Me'ilo continues to exist. Now, if the Torah wanted to set up a Binyan Av, that would have applied all over, then it would have had to teach it to me once. There would be no need to teach it to me twice. From the very fact that the Torah went out of its way to teach me not only Trumas HaDeshem, but also Big Day Kahuna, that in both cases there's Me'ila even after Nasis Mitzvaso, that means the Torah is, so to speak, closing up. You know, it's putting a tight... what do you say? Right, a tight circle, a hermeneutic, it's a hermetically sealed utensil, and these two are the only two which undermine the principle of Nasis Mitzvaso, meaning Me'ila continues even after Nasis Mitzvaso. If the Torah again wanted to make it a universal principle that Me'ila applies even after Nasis Mitzvah, so it would have been sufficient that the Torah told us once. And the reason why the Torah tells us twice is in order to establish that these two are the only exceptions, and the rule with regard to all other cases is that Nasis Mitzvah removes Me'ila. Now I have a note here. He says the following, that this sugya doesn't touch on the issue of Big Day Zahav. And why is that? So he quotes a Gemara here in Masechta Kiddushin. I remember when I was learning Masechta Kiddushin, I always found that, you know, in my youth I thought Masechta Kiddushin is one of the easier Masechtas in Shas, but you don't realize how much of Masechta Kiddushin is Kodshim. It's unbelievable. So anyway, in one of the Kodshim sugyas in Masechta Kiddushin, the Gemara applies a svara to Big Day Zav, Ein Bahem Me'ila. Based on the Sfar, the Gemara says that Big Day Zav don't have Me'ila. So our Sugi again is not talking about Big Day Zav, it's only talking about Big Day Lavan. Now, what was the Sfar of the Gemara Kiddushin? The Gemara says, Lo Nitna Torah L'malachei Asharis, which means that Ein Akonim Yicholim Lizar Shalola Hashel Sabgadim Aleim Shalola Tzarch Avoda Filu Regel Achel Leposhtim Miad B'Siyuma. It's impossible. It's not logistically possible to demand of the Kohen, of every last Kohen, that immediately when he finishes Avoda, you know, with a snap of the finger, he removes the Begadim. So he wears the Begadim for a few seconds at least, maybe a few minutes after he finishes the Avoda. So that's called Lo Nitna Torah L'Malachei Asharis, which means that we're not angels and we have to live with the human limitations, and you cannot begin to expect or demand that there would be Me'ila because the Kohen left on the Begadim for a few minutes after he finished the Avodah.
But we said a few days ago that there was no problem with that. When the Kohanim were serving in the Beis Hamikdash, if they happened to benefit from something, it's okay.
Right, but that's only as long as they're involved in the Avodah. The question is, what happens the moment they finish the Avodah? At that point, you know, these Begadim are warming their body, and they get benefit from it, and the Avodah is already complete. So therefore, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that in Big Day Zav, Ein Me'ila. Big Day Lavan, on the other hand, which are worn for a very short period of time, there is Me'ila. Now, he says that in order to understand this, you have to learn another sugya, and that's a Masechta Me'ila. And the Gemara says over there, Masechta Me'ila and Daf Yud Aleph, that Trumas HaDeshen and Shnei Se'irei Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, Shnei Se'irim, are also what's called Shnei Ksuvim HaBom Ki'echad. So again, apparently, in the case, you know, that one of the two Se'irim is sent out all the way to the Tzuk, you know, very far away, and then it's pushed off the Tzuk. So the question is there Me'ila after you brought it out to the Tzuk? So again, I'm not familiar with the Sugya Me'ila, but what I can see here is that there, in the case of the Sarah Mishtalech, again, we're going to apply the principle that there is Me'ila even after Nasis Mitzvaso. And the Gemara is going to use that as Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kecher. So again, what's common to both the Sugya here of Shnei Ksuvim in Psachim and the Sugya in Me'ila of Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kecher is that both are operating with Trumas HaDeshen as one of the two Ksuvim. Whereas our sugya psachim, the second kasuv is big day lavan, is big day kahuna. In the Gemara in Masechta Meila, the second pasuk, the kasuv asheni is not big day kahuna, but sayer mishtaleach. That the sayer mishtaleach even after nasis mitzvah, so still is subject to meila. So again, what has to the one who. I don't know if you ever heard of the Mikdash David. The Mikdash David is one of the most outstanding Sfarim on Kodshim. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, and he dedicates an entire Siman to try to reconcile our Sugya with the Sugya in Me'ila. So I'm just pointing out that for those who want to go into greater detail here, and if we had the time, it would be wonderful to do that. We'd have to study the Mikdash David. Okay.
Now we've got three.
Correct. So we're going to have to figure out why our Gemara doesn't operate with Sarya Mishtalech, and why the Gemara in Me'ila doesn't operate with Big Day Kahuna. Okay.
Three doesn't destroy the.
Correct. Again, our sugya is not operating with Sarya Mishtalech. We don't know why. I mean, that's what the Mikdash David is going to try to answer. And that Gemara Me'ila is not operating with Big Day Kahuna. We have to know in that sugya why they dropped the ball on Big Day Kahuna. Okay. Now, he has a long footnote, which I don't even think I have to read to you, because I think we got the gist of this on our own, as to why Shneik Suvim Abom Kechad Ein Malamdim. I'll just quickly read it. He says, Ilu Haysa Chafetz HaTor Lamin Din Zelichol Mokom Haysa Kosev So B'Mokom Echad V'Dai B'Kach V'Yinu Lomdim L'Shara Mekomos U'Li'achash HaTor Chazra V'Kosva Din Zeh Pam no sefer, the Torah again felt compelled to tell me the same din again. Yesh lilmon mikach she'ein lelamed mi elu lemakom acher rak bahem bilvad nemar adin. So I don't know if you follow the Hebrew. It's pretty much word for word what we said in the English. He has a marsha in kedushin that has a slightly different understanding of what Shnei Suvim Abom Kechad Ein Malamdim is all about. But that's enough for it now. Okay. Now we get to the psukim. So Gemara says, Trumas Hadeshen Hadam Moron. In the case of Trumas Hadeshen, we darshan for the pasuk v'somo, that it means ton gniza. But in the case of Big Day Kahuna, how do we know that there's me'ila even after Nasei's mitzvah? So, tichsiv, and I'll read the whole pasuk, this is in Parashas Achrimos. It says, "Uva Aaron el Oel Moed, upashares bigdei habod, asher lavash bivo Oel Hakodesh, v'inicham sham." So again, Aaron finished the avoda as the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kadoshim. And then upashat, he now takes off his big day bad, which means the big day lavan. And then it says, what does he do with them? I mean, the Torah didn't have to say what he does with them. Let him put them away for another year. I don't know, next year he'll also need these. Hopefully he'll survive into next year. No, but the Torah says, v'inicham sham. And again, this pasuk is referring to the Avodas Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim, and at the end of the presentation of this avoda, it says that he has to take off the begadim, those special begadim that he wore for this avoda in the Kodesh Kadoshim, and then it says v'inicham sham.
Which means after 410 years there was a pile of 410 of these begadim. Is that what it means?
What, that you could find them, you mean to say?
Well, I'm just saying, every year put it there, and the pile just grew. I mean, is that what it means?
Probably disintegrated.
I don't know, yeah, probably after a certain amount of time, I don't know. So he says, Malamed Shetu'unim Gniza. That V'nicham Sham means that they have to be hidden away. So that nobody would benefit from them. Now, if somebody were to benefit from these begadim, the Torah is saying that would be prohibited, even though it's already Nasis Mitzvasam.
Can I just point out one thing?
Just give me 1 second, and then the floor is yours. Af shel vishasam osam eno moel bahem sharehu losham lavoda. I almost don't understand this Gemara. I thought maybe the footnote would help me. Well, why is another Kohen going to wear these begadim?
Why not? Because they're big. They're head.
Are they in style?
No,
are they blue? Are they white?
No, because
they're pretty boring clothes.
Because the only
they're not designer clothes.
They only wore them once. They're
no, but I'm asking you. What, so answer me.
Where the benefit?
Why is he wearing? What, the Kohen wants to use the begadim for what purpose?
For
that vote? That's not me. You are
no.
I don't understand. The Torah is telling me.
Why would he wear them outside?
The Torah is telling me that
he would wear them.
That's
not
the question.
For his job.
Phil, I'm not so stupid. What I'm saying is, why did he wear them? Were they designer clothing? Why would the Kohen Hedja want to wear these?
The uniform.
For what purpose?
You know, to do the avoda.
Excellent. We're all on the same team. So now I don't understand. The Gemara is telling me that the Kohen Hedja is not allowed to use these begadim because of Me'ilah. I don't get it. Where is their Me'ilah? If it was designer clothing, then it would be Me'ilah. But he's not wearing it
because it's Morina the Kodesh.
It's Me'ilah.
No, but
city starts here.
It's Morina the Kodesh.
No, that's not so. That's again, that comes under Lodin the Torah of Malachi Asharis. In other words, the Kohen is going to put on the begadim right before the Avodah. Again, there may be a few seconds until he starts the Avodah. But that's already Lodin the Torah of
Malachi. They were already in the Kodesh Kedoshim. Now you're Morina. Them. You're being buried on this on the kedusha of these begadim. These begadim were the begadim that Kohen Gadol wore in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and now you're wearing them.
But what's better that they
I don't know if that's anything to do
that
with that.
Be reused by the Kohen Hedja. I think it would be more kavodik to give it to the.
No, it's right. No more reading.
So I just tell you what the Sfasemis says. He's quoted here. I'm not going to tell you I understand the Sfasemis, but at least he addresses my issue. He says that the Torah would not have indicated that the Kohen Hedjot is not allowed to use these begadim for avodah by saying v'nicham sham. What does that mean, v'nicham sham? V'nicham sham means we have to be careful and place them in a way that no Kohen would wear them for Shar Shimushim. Again, I don't understand exactly why.
Shar Shimushim is what we just said.
I'm just saying, I don't know why a Kohen. You know, let me give you a psychological possibility. Again, this is Dok Vitishka. Just forget what I'm about to say. Maybe the Kohen decides, hey, you know what? I want to wear these begadim because the Kohen Gadol wore these begadim. So he calls this Shar Shimushim. And in order to guarantee that the Kohen, meaning the Kohen Hedja, would not be tempted to want to use these begadim for Shar Shimushim, therefore Asra Makosav, the Torah says it's completely Asra. So again, what we're saying is that the Isur Me'ilah would only be violated if the Kohen used these begadim, the Kohen Hedja uses these begadim for Shar Shimushim, which again I don't know exactly what the Sfasemis means by Shar Shimushim. I don't think they're designer clothing, but he gets a kef, he gets a, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to put in here.
Anything other than what the Kohen.
Yeah, again, but I'm just trying to figure out, Michael, why would a Kohen. Right, Don, you're a Kohen. Would you want to take these begadim and use them shalom b'shas avodah? You know, maybe if you're freezing, you know, you don't have your own begadim. I don't know.
How's it any different than the guys who are in Milawim and go to work in their uniforms? Because that's the thing, you know, is to wear your uniform to the office.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to leave this to your imagination. But all I have from the Sfasemis is quote unquote shar shimushim shalom l'tzorach avodah, and he says the following, that the Torah had to guarantee that these begadim would not be used for Shar Shimushim. So therefore the Torah gave an absolute total Isur and said, put them away, make sure nobody touches them. And therefore they weren't even be allowed to use for Avodah, even though that would not technically be Me'il, if I understand this 5-7. But the Torah says, out. Why? Because maybe you'll use them for Shar Shimushim. So Frek the Gemara, what do you mean Shar Shimushim? Who cares? It's already Nasis Mitzvah. So, and the answer is that the Torah is teaching us in the parasha of Big Day Kahuna that there's Me'ilah even after Nasis Mitzvah. So, even though the Kohen Gadol has completed his Avodah David.
is this clothing the property of each Kohen? Do they own their own clothing? Or is it like Hekdesh owns the clothing and the Kohen just happens to borrow it for that day for the Avodah?
I could have answered your question once upon a time when I was learning Masechta Yuma, yeah. But now I'm not learning Masechta Yuma. So if you want, send me an email and I'll try to research that. But in any event, Rabbi said, let's just get the basic underlying structure of the sugya, as difficult as this sugya is. The Gemara is telling us that the Kohen Hedjot needs four begadim. And these four begadim happen to be the same begadim which the Kohen Gadol uses, lifnai v'lifnim, when he wears the four begadim called Bigdei Lavan. And now, when the Kohen Hedjot wants to use these begadim, because the Kohen Gadol already used them on Yom Kippur, the Torah says no. The Torah says he's not allowed to use them. The Kohen Hedjot is not allowed to use the Kohen, and therefore the Torah goes out of its way to say that the Kohen Gadol should take off the begadim when he comes out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and v'nicham sham, and he should put him begniza, and that teaches me that there is an Issa Me'ila even after Nasis Mitzvason. Okay, so far so good. At least at that level, we're able to understand the sugya. Okay, fine. Now,
maybe.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Maybe
just trying to.
Maybe even if he's using it for Voda.
Yeah.
He's getting a benefit because he's wearing the.
Okay, as I said, Don, I'm going to certain things I have to leave to your imagination. I don't know. There's something called Shar Tashmishim, and that's the language of the. That's the language of the Sfas Emes. Okay then? Alright. Good. Oh. So in other words, the bottom line is, Rav Osai, do we have a defense mechanism for Rav Papa? Rav Papa says, Nasis Mitzvaso, in the case of Ketores, it was already Talat Maraso, there's no Me'ila. Can we defend Rav Papa? So you and I would say, what do you mean? Rav Papa's obviously wrong. Because I'll give you not one case, I'll give you two cases in which the Torah says that even though the mitzvah was completed, for example, Trumas HaDesh and Akhtar was done, and Vigdekuna, the Kohen Gadol, comes out of the Kodesh Kadashi, finishes Avodah, and yet the Torah says it's also. The answer is, Shnei Ksuva Avon Kechad Ein Malavdin. Frank the Gemara. Wait a second. That's okay. Ha Nichol Rabbanon. The Amri Malamit Shetunim Gniza. Oh, I skipped a beat here. The Gemara later on is going to ask, what about the Man Yomer Hold Snake Subabom Kechid Malamdin? Okay, we're not ready for that question yet. But the Gemara asks a different question. Rabbi Dosa is going to disagree with the Chachamim. The Chachamim say Malamit Shetunim Gniza, meaning that there's Me'ila. If the Kohen Hedjot benefits from the Big Day Kahuna after Nasis Mitzvasa. But according to Rabbi Dosa, the Polygale, the Omar, he holds it with regard to Big Day Kahuna, that the Torah is telling us that the Kohen Gadol should not, and he's not allowed to use the same begadim next year, Aval Ru'uyim Heim LeKohen Hedjot. That at the moment that the Kohen Hedjot is doing his avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, she can indeed wear the Big Day Kahuna that were worn, the Big Day Love, and those four begadim that were worn by the Kohen Gadol when he went Lifnai V'Lifnim. So what does Rabbi Dosa do with this pasuk? After all, the pasuk says V'Nicham Sham, which indicates that there is a din of Gniza, a requirement of making, putting them out of access. So the Gemara says, "Umay v'nicham sham." According to Rabbi Dosa, "Shelo yishtamish b'hem b'yom haKippurim acher." That he himself, the Kohen Gadol, has to put him down, meaning he has to know that he's not going to use them. So, Michael, according to Rabbi Dosa, you don't have your question. Where are the 410 years worth of Gadol? Because they were probably passed on from one generation to the other through the Kohen Hedjot, until, as Don says, before they finally disintegrated, and until that point, I guess they would just recycle. That's according to Rabbi Dosa. So Michael and Mamer, then we're back to Trumas HaDeshen, correct? Because we only have the Pasuk of Trumas HaDeshen that teaches me that even after Nasis Mitzvah, so there's still Me'ila. In the case of Big Day Kahuna, Enochinami, where there is no din of Me'ila. Now again, there's a catch 22 in this Gemara, because the Ma'ikel Meimer is very odd. What do you mean Ma'ikel Meimer? Obviously Rav Dosa holds that Nasis Mitzvah removes Me'ilah, because Rav Dosa himself says that the Kohen Eged is allowed to wear these begadim, and the reason for that is, there's only one possible reason, is because Nasis Mitzvah. So there's a very paradoxical logic here in the Gemara, and the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Dosa we have a problem, when Rabbi Dosa himself is applying the rule of Nasis Mitzvasa. But maybe what the Gemara is saying is that how can Rabbi Dosa maintain Nasis Mitzvasa when we have Trumas Hadeshen, and if Trumas Hadeshen is the only pasuk that teaches us Nasis Mitzvasa, then we apply the principle of Binyan Av. So how can you tell me that the Kohen Gadol, once he finishes his mitzvah, then the Kohen Hedged is allowed to wear these begadim? And Rav Moshe, one question that I want to ask here, but it's not for now, is that according to Rabbi Dosa, why is it the Kohen Gadol can't reuse his begadim, and only a Kohen Hedged is allowed to do so? That's a very strange halacha. Okay, but we'll leave that out for now. And the Gemara answers, Mishum davi trumas hadeshin v'yegla rufa shnei ksum abam ki echad v'chol shnei ksum abam ki echad melamdin. And now we have to learn a little bit about Egla Rufa. So just to give a little bit of background, and then Michael, you're going to have to ask your question, because we don't accept Rabbi Dosa, and therefore it comes Shlosha Ksuvim. I mean, you know, now we're going to have the bad number of three, so we're going to have to address that as well. But what happens in Egla Rufa? We find a dead body, a slain body that was killed between two cities, and we have to figure out which is the closest city. That's called Medida. And after we do the Medida, we figure out which is the closest city. Then we have to take, there's a whole ritual in which we have to take an eglas bakar, and we have to bring it down to a place called the Nachal Eson. Eson means it was never worked, so it's very tough ground. You know, we never had a hoe or a rake, you know, to soften the ground. And there we go through a process called Arifa. Arifa means, instead of shchita, we break its neck from the back. That's the opposite of shchita. And this is done as a kapara for the dam of the nerag, of the victim. And all this is presented in the Torah in Dvarim Perek Chaf Aleph. And what do we do with the Egla Rufa after the process and the ritual was achieved? We bury it in its place in that Nachal Eson. And that's based on the pasuk that says, V'arfu sham es ha'egla ba'nachal. And the word sham means that it should be buried there. And that indicates that we're not allowed to have any benefit from the Egla Rufa after the Arifa. And the question obviously is going to be, wait a minute, it's already Nasis Mitzvasa. You did the mitzvah. The mitzvah was to do the Arifa, and we did the Arifa. And therefore, why does the Torah say we have to bury it to make sure that we don't have any benefit from it? Now, in the Gemara in Krisus, we have a fundamental machlokas about Egla Rufa. Is the Egla Rufa Asur only Li'achar Arifasa, or is it Asur even Bechayim once they designate it as an Egla Rufa? Our Sugya here in Masechet Pesachim assumes that there's an Isur even Mechayim, and therefore the Gemara thinks that the process of Arifa, insofar as it represents Nasis Mitzvaso, should be Matir the Egla after the Arifa. And why is it the Torah says that it's also? Because again, if you're going to say that it's a, like the other Mandiyomer in Krisus, namely that it only became, the Egla only became Asura after its death, then we're not going to call it Nasis Mitzvasa. On the contrary, the whole Isur was formulated after it dies. So you're not going to talk about Nasis Mitzvasa. Nasis Mitzvasa means an Isur that exists during its lifetime, meaning when the mitzvah was mandated, and then with it, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, we're going to say it's mutter, and that's going to be a kasha. If we apply that general rule to Egla Rufa, why is it also even after the mitzvah was done? But if the Isur of Egla Rufa, according to that mind, only emerges after the Misa, so then we don't understand this Gemara. So this Gemara must be holding like that Mandiyomer increases. But here we have a very fundamental question, Rabosai. Is there Me'ilah and Egla Arufa? The whole sugi that we've been learning is all about Me'ilah, whether in the case of Trumas HaDeshen, in the case of Ketores that we started with, in the case of Bigdei Kahuna. But Egla Arufa is not Kodesh. You know, at no point in time do we say Arezeh Kodesh, or we say, you know, that this is designated as Hegdesh. So here we have a principle, again, it's a Gemara in a number of different places, and that's called Nemar Bokapora Kikodshim. I don't know if you've ever heard of this principle. That whenever the Torah points to something and says that this is going to be a Machaper, then it becomes like a Karmon. Just like a carbon is brought on the Mizbeach for the purpose of Kapara, that's the first pasuk in our Sedra, the Shabbos, right? So too, anything that's designated for a Kapara is also like a carbon, meaning it has certain dinim that make it similar to a carbon. And for example, this is going to apply in the case of a Mitzorah, their state Zipporim, that's also part of the process of purifying and atoning for the sin of the Mitzorah. And they're also going to apply the principle of the Nemar Bakapar Kikodshim and many other cases. So Egla Rufa fits into this principle of Nemar Bakapar Kikodshim. And therefore the Gemara thinks that whatever rules apply to Kodshim should apply to Egla Rufa, and vice versa. The rules that apply to Egla Rufa should therefore apply to Kodshim. Now we said in the case of the Ketores, where there's a mitzvah of Haktorah on the Mizbeach, that it became the Hanos Reach from the Ketores became Mutter after Nasis Mitzvah. So, well, let's learn from Egla Rufa the exact opposite. That even though he already did the Arifa of the Egla, it still remains Aser, even though the Mitzvah was done. Therefore, we should derive the conclusion that in Kodshim, because again, Kapara is like Kodshim, whenever the Mitzvah is done, there still remains an Iser Me'ila. Again, theoretically, you could differentiate here between Egla Rufa and the other cases. You know, in Trumas HaDeshen, for example, is Me'ila. In Egla Rufa, there is no Me'ila. Egla Rufa is only Osir Ba'anah, it's not Kodshim. So there is no Me'ila in Egla Rufa. You know, you're not Magdish Egla Rufa, as we said before. And the funny thing is that the Gemara is going to use Egla Rufa as the second pasuk in the structure of Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Ke'echad. Now, Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Ke'echad only applies when you could have derived A from B and B from A. And therefore, why did the Torah have to give you both A and B? So the underlying premise here now is sugya, is that you could have derived the halacha of the Iser even post Nasis Mitzvasa from Trumas HaDeshen to Egla Rufa, or from Egla Rufa to Trumas HaDeshen. Now, let's say we only had the pasuk Egla Rufa. Could you have derived any conclusion about Trumas HaDeshen? Trumas HaDeshen is Hegdesh. Trumas HaDeshen is subsumed under the Iser Me'ilah. Egla Rufa is not Hegdesh. Again, it has a din of Kapara, but it's not Kodshim. There's no Iser Me'ilah in Egla Rufa. So that Egla Rufa comes under Isuri Anah. We have many Isuri Anah. Admittedly, you know, there is some similarity between Egla Rufa and Trumas HaDeshen. You know, Basa B'cholov and Chomitz B'Pesach is also about, no, that has nothing in common with Trumas HaDeshen. There's no element of Hegdesh in Basa B'cholov or in Chomitz or in Orlo, Klaya Kerem or Shara Niskal, etc. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, Egla Rufa is not Hegdesh. You know, there's certain similarities to Hegdesh. It's got a power of Kapara to Hegdesh. But there's no Akhtara, there's no Akadosha, you don't have Dalet Avodos, you have nothing. So, what's the Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Ke'echad Melamdin? Shnei Ksuvim means, why did you need the Pasuk in Trumas HaDeshen? You could have derived it from Egla Rufa, then even after Nasis Mitzvos and the Arifa was done, nevertheless, it still remains awesome. The Torah says you have to bury it there, meaning that it's also about no, even after what? Even after the Arifa Sa'egla, meaning after Nasis Mitzvasa, so too in Trumas HaDeshen. Or maybe it's a Kal V'chomer. But then again, it has to go both ways. You're going to have to tell me that if I only had the Pasuk in Trumas HaDeshen, I could derive the conclusion that even in Egla Rufa, we're going to say that the Iser HaNor remains post Nasis Mitzvasa. But how do you know that? Maybe in Trumas HaDeshen, it's Halach in Hilchas Me'ilah. But there is no Me'ilah, there's no din of Hegdesh in Egla Rufa. I don't know. To me, this Gemara is a pella. I'm full of questions today, you know. Besides your question, David, about private ownership in Big Day Kahuna. Hanicha, the Gemara says, L'man diyomer ein melamdin. We have one man diyomer who says, Shnei ksuvim ein melamdin. El l'man diyomer melamdin. We have another man diyomer. And there's a whole sugya of Rabbi Yehuda, Mesechta Sanhedrin, Sama Zayinu, and Beis. And he holds that Shnei ksuvim abam kechud melamdin. Now all the Rishonim try to figure out, how does Rabbi Yehuda answer the following question? Why did the Torah have to teach me the same thing twice? And again, the premise is that you could have learned A from B and B from A. And the Torah is not interested in superficialities, you know, in redundancies. So Tosis in Masechta Sanhedrin and Masechta Zvachim, he tries to give like some sort of explanation for Rabbi Yehuda, that if we only had one miut, then we would have only been memayit what's called a davar domelo. So again, you have to know more about the Gimel Midos HaTorah Dreshes, and there's something called the Dovr HaDomelo, and that's not one of the Gimel Midos, but I mean that's one of the regulations. So in order to set up a Binyan Av, you have to have something that's an absolute analogy. If there's any discrepancy between A and B, then Binyan Av is not going to work. And therefore, sometimes the Torah feels compelled to repeat the same din in a different context to show you that despite the nuances of differences between A and B, the underlying principle remains the same. In any event, bottom line is that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Shnei Ksuv Abom Kechad Melamdim. And now we have a problem because we have Trumas Hadeshen and Egla Rufa. And in both cases, we say that the Issur continues even after Nases Mitzvasa. So the Gemara answers, Tre mi ute ksive. What does Tre mi ute ksive mean? There are two parshios. There's a parsha of Trumas Hadeshen, and there's a parsha of Egla Rufa. And in each parsha, the Torah gave a special miut. In the case of Trumas Hadeshen, ksiv visamo. And it could have said visam. Why does it say visamo? The extra vav at the end of that word is coming to teach you that the Torah is saying what's called a miut, that only in Trumas Hadeshen the din is that he's not allowed to have hanah from the Afer, from the ashes of Trumas Hadeshen, even Liachar Shanas Mitzvos. Now let's jump over to the parasha of Egla Rufa. So the first parasha again was the parasha of Trumas Hadeshen, and there it said visamo, it to exclude other cases. And in Egla Rufa Ksiv, V'chol, I'm reading the old pasuk, V'chol Zikne Ha'ira Hi Akrovim El HaChalol Yirchatzu Es Yideim Al HaEgla HaArufa B'Nachal. The extra hey, it could have said Arufa. Why does it say HaArufa? To tell you that this din, that you shouldn't benefit from the Egla even after the Arufa, even after Nasis Mitzvah, so only applies to Egla Arufa, but it doesn't apply in other cases. Now notice the Gemara now, in order to defend our principle of Nasis Mitzvah, so it needs two miutim. And the reason it needs two miutim is because each one of these two parshios, Trumas Hadeshen or Egla Rufa, can serve as a binyan av. And therefore, unless you can nip it in the bud, and in each parsha indicate through a drasha, derived through a drasha, that it only applies in this case to the exclusion of other cases, then you would still be able to use the other parsha as the binyan av. So we have to shoot it down on both parshios and somehow derive from a mute that the din of Easter after mitzvah so applies in Trumas Hadeshen and only in Trumas Hadeshen, and the din of Egla Rufa that there's an Easter even after even after the mitzvah was done applies in Egla Rufa and only in Egla Rufa. Because again, if we only had one miut, then we would have the other one to serve as a binyan av. Again, what we would do to reconcile that, that's a long discussion. That's Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ksiv. But in any event, at this point in the sugya, I'm just looking at the clock, I see it's a little bit late, so we're going to wrap it up. What we come to the conclusion is that although there are exceptions to the rule, But the rule itself still remains a plausible rule, and that is Nasis Mitzvah, so removes the Isra Anor, removes the Isra Me'ila. Either exceptions to the rule. So we're going to either, and we're going to apply one of two logical principles. Either we're going to apply the principle Shnei Ksuvim Abam Kechrei Melam, that Trumas HaDeshen and Egla Ruf are the two exceptions to the rule. We're not going to use Bigdei Kahuna because of Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says in the case of Bigdei Kahuna, the Kohen Eged is allowed to use the Bigdei Kohen Gadol. So therefore we're going to need to introduce Egla Rufa. We still have another question here that I mentioned earlier. According to the Chachamim Rabbi Dosa, we have three Ksuvim. We have number one, Trumas HaDeshen, and number two, we have Bigdei Kahuna, and number three, we have Egla Rufa. So we have three Psukim, and that should undermine the whole principle, Shnei Ksuvim Abam Kechrei Melam. That's our question. But in any event, these three cases remain not the rule, but the exceptions to the rule. And in all these three cases, there's an Isra Anah even after the mitzvah is done. That's clear in the case of Trumas HaDeshen. In the case of Bigdei Kohen Gadol, after he comes out, Lifnai Mufin, it's Nasis Mitzvah. So, in the case of Egla Rufa, after the Arifas HaEgla, it was already Nasis Mitzvah. And yet, in all these cases, the Isur Me'ilo, the Isra Anah, continues to exist. But we form a hermetically sealed utensil and we put them all in the box, and only in these three cases and not elsewhere. Again, the number three is not a very comfortable number. But in any event, that's one approach, and that approach certainly works according to Rabbi Dosa. And we have another approach, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Sanhedrin, Shnei Ksuvim Abam Kechen Melamdim, we're going to have to say that there are mi'utim of the Samo and Ha'arufa that are going to teach me that only in these cases, namely Trumas HaDeshen and Egla Rufa, is there a loch of an Isra Anah that persists even after Nasis Mitzvah, but nevertheless the general rule applying elsewhere, namely that after Nasis Mitzvah we remove the Isra Me'ila, that is the ironclad rule. So I'll take this opportunity to thank everyone for a wonderful week. I mean, we covered a lot this week. Some of it, I have to admit, is a little bit beyond my, you know, my knowledge here. I mean, I learned Zvachim, but Zvachim is a lifetime project. So I tried to do the best we can. If you can write me emails with all your questions, I'll try to research them. Especially yours, David. I'm curious about that. And I wish everyone a great Shabbos. I mean, it's Parshas Zohar, so you know, Parshas Zohar, I think, takes on new meaning in our contemporary life because the Amalekim are all over the place, and they became more outspoken. And
nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. And with every passing moment, you know, they become more outspoken. I'm honestly afraid. I'm afraid to open up. I'm a big fan of Arutz Sheva, although I'm about to drop it because it gets me totally depressed. I mean, unbelievable. 9 out of 10, I go to the news briefs about something depressing. They tell you who died, who got hit by motor. You know, it drives you crazy. You know, so I don't know. But
the history of the Jewish people is one of the Gilad Esther's. Seriously, our whole existence is.
So I don't know if I agree with you that it's all Megillah Esther. I agree with you. It's all Megillas Amalek. That I agree with.
You know, we.
Yeah, but 6 million. I mean, that's a big number. You know, the Amalekim got us pretty bad over there. You know, but you're right. I'm Yisrael still alive. But this guy from Turkey. I mean, he's got to be an Amalekim. I mean, my gosh. I just hope he doesn't decree because there's still Jews in Turkey. I don't know how many Jews there are. Maybe 20,000. I don't know the number.
Too many.
Yeah.
Come home, daughter.